just invite His presence tonight. Is here. Let's just sing this little chorus and invite His presence and invite Him into our midst tonight, Lord, for the beginning of these meetings. He's holy. Amen. Help me sing that. He is holy, my Lord. To be in His house. And feel His presence here. God bless you, saints. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. As we start singing this, why don't you greet one another in the name of the Lord? Oh, we're together again. We're just praising the Lord. Oh, we're together again. In wonder.
Just
Praise the Lord. I believe you're ready to worship tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. God bless you. I want to welcome you all here together. I have an announcement. Lord willing, we'll have a pitch-in meal tomorrow at the Tunnel Hill Christian Church Gym. We will have that gym from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., and we'll be eating at noon tomorrow, so you're welcome to come out to that. And Lord willing, tomorrow evening here at the church, we'll have a special singing service, and that'll be starting at 7:30 p.m. as well. As we go to prayer, just remember Brother Teo's family in prayer as they are having his daughter's funeral this evening. And please remember the saints in Florida in prayer as Hurricane Dorian is headed in their direction unless the Lord changes its path. And we know he can do that. Amen. Please remember Brother Billy Paul Branham in prayer. He's having a lot of swelling and pain in his feet. And also want to remember Brother Philip Bryant. He's sick with a headache. And I know those can be very debilitating, so I want to lift him up before the Lord in prayer. Sure is good to see Sister Patty here tonight. What a testimony. Amen. God is good. She had surgery on Wednesday, and good to see her here in the service. I believe I saw Brother Attila back there. Brother, would you make your way this way to pray over the prayer request, please, my brother? It's good to have all of our visitors here. We have a visiting minister here, a Reverend Caleb Naoni, I may have said that wrong, from Zambia in Africa. So I want to make him welcome, and each one of you. If you have a need you want to make known to the Lord by an uplifted hand, he sees each hand. Just hold that need up before the Lord as we go to prayer.
God bless you, brother. Dear Heavenly Father, it is a privilege, Lord, to know that you hear us, Lord God. For you said if we ask anything in your name, you will hear us, Father God. You also made a promise where two or three will be gathered in your name, that you will be there. And we expect you, Lord God, to make your presence well felt in every heart, Lord God. Pray, Lord, that everyone with their needs, hands lifted up, Lord, you know what was below that hand, Lord God, in that heart, and that you would come down and meet every need, Lord God, in a special way. And when it's all said and done, Lord God, there would be no doubt that it was you, Lord God. It wasn't something by chance, Lord, but it's our good Lord and Savior. Father, I pray you anoint a minister, Lord God, a brother that would come with the word, and you speak to our hearts, Lord God, as we gather not to see a man and not to hear a man, but you, Lord. We are needy people, Lord God, and we want to be ready, Lord God, for that day when you should come, Lord, to catch your waiting bride away. If there's anyone here tonight, Lord, that has never committed their lives to you, Lord, would you make them so ashamed of themselves that they would do so, Lord God? May they realize that without you, there's no life, Lord. You said, without me, you can do nothing, Lord. May we realize that, Lord, every one of us, Lord, that we really need you, Lord. And Lord, you have heard our prayer, Lord. May you receive our worship now, Lord, and have charge of the whole service, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
God bless you, saints. You may be seated. At this time, we have a special from Sister Elena Hamby. God bless you.
Take the word.
Sure appreciate that. God bless you. We had a request for Brother Jack's mom, Sister Ellen Burrs, if I said her name right, to sing this evening. So if she'd make her way up here, let's just sing this little chorus as she comes. G.
Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Have heard what's recorded in God's word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful?
God bless you. So good to be in your midst again.
Amen.
So good. We certainly thank you all for your prayers for us there in South Florida. Our hearts are back home. But we know God has it all in control.
Amen.
They've written us off many times, but we still stand. Praise God. You all can help me with this familiar chorus here, just a closer walk.
Amen.
Praise God. I'll start it, brother, and hope you can pick me up. Just a closer walk with thee. Ooh, grant it, Jesus, is my plea. Oh, when daily walking close to thee, oh, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Closer walk with thee. Jesus Christ, grant me, Lord, is my plea. I cry.
I'm disappointed. I thought she was going to really turn loose and sing. Amen. Good to have Sister Birds with us. Amen. We love our West Palm Beach family. And certainly, I told Brother Jack tonight, I said, just feel at home because you are at home. And Brother Jack dedicated this church, so I guess he can feel right at home here. And he was the first guest minister that we ever had when we was back in the home services and dedicated the storefront for us as well. So we've had wonderful times there in West Palm Beach. So we're just expecting a good time in the Lord this weekend. Amen. I hope you came to worship, and I hope you came expecting. And with the presence of the Lord like this, I could just get up here and talk and preach, but I'm not going to. We're going to have Brother Jack come and just invite him at this time. And Sister Cobb, Sister Cobb's not here yet, is she? Well, I'll go ahead and sing it anyhow. She's always getting on me. I'll sing a song, and I'll say, how did I do, Sister Cobb? She'll say, you didn't blackify it enough. And so I was going to try tonight, and I forgot she's not in town yet, but we'll sing another one when she's here. But let's try this tonight. Amen. As Brother Jack comes, why don't we stand together and help me sing this? I think we all know it. Oh, there are some things I may not know. Oh, there are some places that I can't go. But I am sure, oh, of this one thing. Within, oh, my God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real. Oh, He's washed and made me whole. His love for me, oh, church, it's like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. Some folks, they doubt, some even scorn. I wish they'd go on, just leave the little bride alone. And as for me, I want to take God's part. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my heart. Oh, my God is real. My God
soul. Oh, I cannot tell just how you felt when my Jesus took all your sins away. Oh, but since that day, oh, and since that very hour, my God's been real. Oh, and I feel His Holy Ghost power. Oh, my God is real. Oh, somebody praise Him tonight. Real in my soul. My God is real. Soul. Come on, sing it one more time. Oh, my God is real in my soul. God is real. He has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. My soul.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Well, God bless you to the Church of the Open Door. Amen. And all the saints that may be visiting, is certainly a blessing and a privilege to be back in fellowship again. This is like home, amen, for us. Our family is here, and we just appreciate the love of God, amen, that we always feel when we come. Thank God for your precious pastor, amen, and one of my dearest friends. Just thank God for him having the confidence in us coming to just be with you all on this weekend. Had a wonderful time with the youth on last night, amen, as we talked about choices. And I just really, really enjoyed, amen, our time there tonight. And just looking forward to all that God has in store for us on this weekend. I thank the Lord for the saints that have arrived from Florida. Amen. A few of the saints, as you, my mom, and amen, and Sister Brown here, and Brother Quentin, and Brother Jimmy, and Sister Verna. And I want to ask that you all would just, good news and bad news. Amen. Bad news is that Sister Verna lost her father just a couple days ago, amen, and she's still pressed away here, so please keep her in prayer, that God would just give her strength, amen, and you know, that God would just bless her while she's here. And the good news is that Sister Brown come, and tomorrow she gets to celebrate a birthday, amen. So keep our family in prayer, amen. The rest of the saints, there'll be some driving up tonight and get here tomorrow, and then some that had other plans but couldn't get out. The airports are shut down, and things are just haywire. Everybody's, just trying to prepare for the worst, but we're believing God for the best.
Amen.
Amen. So just keep them in prayer as well. Let's read a couple scriptures tonight. Genesis 22. And also 1 Corinthians 15, we'll read from both of these passages, Genesis 22, and starting at verse 15. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba.
Amen. So over here in 1 Corinthians 15. Praise the Lord. Just starting here at verse 22. Praise the Lord. Amen. The promise was that thy seed will possess every gate of the enemy. And we know one of those gates was the gate of death. And our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ certainly possessed that. Here in verse 22 in 1 Corinthians 15 says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet." Glory to God. I like that. "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we have the ability to read the word. But God, we know the Holy Spirit must come and anoint it to our ears that we might understand what it is that you would want us to know tonight. God, get all the glory and all the honor with the thought that will be presented. Thank you for your presence that has been felt in this place through the worship and the song service and specials. We know your presence is here. Now, Lord, we bring, amen, our attention to the word of God. This is where we receive life, amen, encouragement and strength, overcoming power. It comes through the word of God. So, Father, we pray that you would just speak to our hearts and that you, God, would get all the glory and all the honor. Hide us all behind the cross. Let not one of us be seen, but may Christ be on display tonight. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Amen. Also, thank God for my precious friend, Brother Trevor. Love hearing his amens. Amen. Appreciate him. Tonight, I want to just take a subject. Amen. It happened at Calvary. Amen. It happened at Calvary is what we want to preach tonight. And this is a sermon that was birthed from a visit to the Holy Land. And some of the saints here from Church of the Open Door had a chance to go. I went with them. Amen. We went to visit Jerusalem and just Israel. And we had a wonderful time there a couple years ago. And there was a number of sermons that was birthed out of our trip. And I think one of the brothers was asking me a question, you know, last night. What's something that really, really stood out to you? And I was trying not to answer his question because I knew I wanted to preach a little bit about something that stood out to me. Amen. So just bear with me tonight as we just kind of journey through this thought. It happened at Calvary. Amen. The message, possessing the enemy's gates. The prophet makes a statement here pertaining to this, what the scriptures that we're reading here in Genesis 22. The prophet makes a statement. He says, God had been testing the patriarch because he had given him a promise. I love this, and I'm going to inject here and there, so just bear with me. I was sharing with the church just a few nights ago. God first gives you a promise, and then he gives you a test. Think about that. God first gives you a promise, and then he gives you a test. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you're going through some things tonight and you're wondering where is this coming from, think about the promise that he gave you first. Hallelujah. Amen. And if you would just stand with that promise, you will come through the test. Yeah. Hallelujah. God had been testing the patriarch because he had given him a promise. And when God makes a promise, he wants to be sure that this person is worthy of the promise before he fulfills what he said or what he promises. All right. All right. Glory. So Abraham had been promised that through his seed, the whole world would be blessed.
that he'd have a son, and this son out of him should come forth a seed that would bless the whole earth. And Abraham, when the promise was given to him, was 75 years old. And Sarah, his wife, was 65 years old. But the Bible tells us that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God. Amen. Through unbelief. Amen. Hallelujah. But was strong in, amen, but strong giving praise to God. And God, I love this statement, God, time after time, tested him. But he come to that final test before the blessing was going to happen. Amen. And that's the way it is with all the seed of Abraham. God gives us that final test just before he gives the promise. And I want to say tonight, maybe some of you are in your final test. Just before you're about to receive your promise. So if you're there, I want to encourage you, don't give up. Amen. Don't think about quitting. Don't think about throwing in the towel, because this could be the final test. Just before you receive what he promised. Listen, he goes on to say this. He says God gives us that final test just before he gives the promise. And if it was possible, since I'd like to say something here personally, but I withhold that. So that final test to see how you react upon it. And when he gave Abraham this test, he found Abraham just as true as he was when he started. What a blessing it would be, amen, this morning, if we who take his promise of healing would stand just as true as we did when he stood there and accepted it, no matter what the doctor said, stand just as true. Amen. Let's go on a little further. He says this in the same sermon, and when he did this, he never withheld his only son, but was about to plunge the knife into Isaac's bosom to destroy his testimony. He had testified all over the known earth that he was acquainted with, that he was going to have this son. And when the son came, he was asked to double back and destroy the only hope that he had for his testimony to be fulfilled. Glory. And when God seen that he was loyal to that faith that he had in God, God looked out of the heavens and he said, I sworn by myself that I'll bless you and multiply you. You and your seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. Do you know you're blessed because Abraham stood? Think about that. You are blessed because Abraham withstood the test. How, somebody else is going to be blessed because you're withstanding your test. Hallelujah. We're blessed because Jesus withstood the test. Hallelujah. Amen. Think about it tonight. Says, what a promise. Now, I want you to remember when this promise was given to Abraham about blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. Thy seed, multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy, and thy seed, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now, Brother Branham brings to our attention, there were actually two seed of Abraham. And what he says to us, he says, there was a natural seed, and there was a spiritual seed. Right. And the blessing is actually flowing through the spiritual seed. Yes. And the spiritual seed is the seed of his faith, which is Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The change in Abraham and Sarah was a type of what change would happen, amen, in Abraham's seed. And Brother Branham says this, a man that possesses that faith, the faith that Abraham had, a man that possesses that faith will take God at his word, regardless of circumstances. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I love these promises that he gives us. Galatians 3:16 tells us now that Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Also, Galatians 3:29 says, and if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So what God promised Abraham, he's also promised me. Amen. What God promised Abraham, he's also promised you. Amen. We're heirs according to
the promise. Let's go on a little further. The message he swore by himself. The prophet says, God by sovereign election has called Abraham's seed. Then if that type of life that was on the inside of the blood cell was upon Abraham, who called the impossible possible. I love that statement. Amen. Abraham was a man that called the impossible possible. And I want you to understand, if you are going to choose to use the word impossible, when you're looking at a circumstance, you're looking at a situation, you say, this is impossible. Amen. It cannot be conquered. We can't do anything with this. This is impossible. If you choose to use that language, when you use the word impossible, you're actually including the word possible. Hallelujah. So we might as well change our language. Rather than saying this is impossible, let's say all things are possible. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Abraham, who called the impossible possible. You know, I was just kind of really thinking, in order for us to be Christians, just to be a Christian, we have to believe in the supernatural. You have to. There is no way a Christian cannot believe in the supernatural. Now, Brother Jack, how can you say that? If you believe in the virgin birth, you have to believe in the supernatural. And not only that, if you believe in the virgin birth, then you have to say there's nothing impossible. If there was ever one thing that was impossible, it should have been the virgin birth. Hallelujah. But if you believe Christ came through the Virgin Mary, amen, then all things are possible. No matter what you're facing. I'm telling you, a woman that's never been touched by a man have a baby? My God. And as a Christian, our faith is built upon miracles. Yes. Hallelujah. So why not expect them today? Yes. Glory to God. Amen. Who called the impossible possible? That they would, because God said so. So what kind of people are the seed of Abraham? Oh, don't miss this. He says, please don't. I feel it coming from the top of my head. He says, looky, look. Then if you are Abraham's seed, you can't dispute with God. Abraham's seed is a part of this spirit. For God gave Abraham a sign of circumcision, cutting of the flesh, for a witness he had received him. In this last days, he has took the Holy Ghost and circumcised every believer of cutting off all doubts and unbelief. To believe God's word is pure and holy. And it's the truth, circumcision, cutting away all unbelief, everything, cutting loose every shoreline sin. God, I believe you, live or die, sink or drown, it's your word, I believe it, then see what I mean. Amen. Glory to God, I love this. We're Abraham's seed and we're going to call the impossible possible. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Now, Romans 4, I want to just kind of read a couple verses from there. But as we just kind of approach this, I thank God for what the prophet is sharing about Abraham. I thank God for what we're going to read here in Romans as what Paul said about Abraham. But if I had to be honest, when I read the story of Abraham in the book of Genesis, I don't see a man that's always calling the impossible possible. I don't see a man that that seems to have faith to move mountains. Amen. I see a man that's making a lot of mistakes. I see a man that seems to doubt God often. Right? But I want to just kind of show you something here. You know, we look at, my Lord Jesus. We look at him and Hagar. That seemed like doubt to me. Right? We look at him selling his wife out to Pharaoh. Right? He went down. He wasn't even supposed to go down there in that land. But he went down there and he told, tell them that you're my sister. Right? And God gives him back Sarah from Pharaoh. And do you know, later on in his life, he goes down to Abimelech and he does the exact same thing. And when I look at these things,
I don't see a man calling, amen, the impossible's possible. I don't see that. Hallelujah. I'm so glad it's not based on what I see. Yeah. Amen. It's not based on what you see, amen, but it's based on what God sees.
Amen.
That's right. Amen. Hallelujah. If God says that he called the impossible possible, then that's what Abraham did. Amen. Oh, if I could just break in and just say this. God is not even looking at your doubt.
Amen.
God is not even considering your doubts. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's read some things that Paul said about Abraham here. And I mean, I like to call this the seven qualities of his faith. Romans, amen, 4, verse 17. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so glad he's not looking at my doubt. My doubt cannot stop God. My unbelief cannot stop God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at this. Verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God who quickened the dead, who calleth those things which be not as though they were. I see that as the first quality of his faith. He called things that be not as though they were. He couldn't see it. He couldn't feel it. But yet he acted like it was anyway. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. He called things that be not as though they were. Who against hope believed in hope. That's another quality. You can be against hope. Now, hope and faith are two different things. Faith is revealed to you. Amen. And there is nobody or nothing that can take that faith away. Once it's been revealed to you that it's going to happen, nothing takes it away. Amen. The doctor can say whatever he want to say. Amen. You might have friends say something else, but faith says, no, God has revealed it to me. I know it's mine. Hallelujah. But sometimes you operate in hope, and hope is saying, if God did it for brother so-and-so, or if God did it for sister so-and-so, that same God has no respect to persons, and I know that God can do it for me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Sometimes you're against hope, but you still have to believe in hope.
All right.
Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Look at this third quality. And being not weak in faith. Now, wait. I just mentioned to you some of the things that Abraham did. He sold his wife to Pharaoh. He sold his wife to Abimelech. Gave his wife, I should say, to Pharaoh. Gave it to Abimelech. And here he's with Hagar, and he's produced Ishmael. It certainly does not look like this man is strong in faith. But the Bible declares, amen, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. Look at this. A man now dead, and he was about 100 years old, and not only did he not consider his body, the Bible says, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. So he's not considering his circumstance, and he's also not considering her circumstance.
Amen.
This is how the Bible records it. I want you to follow me. That's the fourth quality. Here's the fifth quality. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Now, I just talked about Pharaoh. I just talked about Abimelech. I just talked about Hagar. But yet the Bible is saying that he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Now, I need you to see this, because oftentimes, amen, as the seed of Abraham, we have the same problems that Abraham had. Sometimes it may seem like we're staggering, and the devil might tell you, oh, you're staggering here, and you're staggering there, and you're doing this, but God does not see it. I'm gonna just stay with me. Hallelujah. God doesn't see it the way that we see it. God doesn't respond the way that we respond. His ways are not like our ways. His thoughts are not like our thoughts. Hallelujah. I'm so glad about this. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. And here's another one. When you're going through, this one that you have to do is Abraham's seed. Was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Sometimes we have to learn how to praise God in spite of.
Amen. Amen.
We have to learn how to worship regardless. Amen. Worship doesn't happen because I feel good. Amen. Worship doesn't happen because I'm happy. Right? Worship happens because I love God. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not based on my trial. When I'm on the mountaintop, amen, I'm not going to give God a better praise just because I'm on the mountaintop. I'll give him the same praise on the mountain that I'll give him in the valley. You know why? Because he's still God in the valley. He's still God on the mountain. He's God in between. He's God all the time. I feel like David, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make a boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. And then he says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Hallelujah. Look at this. Let's go on. The seventh quality is he was being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Abraham was fully persuaded that the God that made the promise to him was going to fulfill the promise no matter how long it took. As I was meditating on this and thinking, so now I look at Abraham in the book of Genesis and I see a lot of doubt. But Paul records something differently about him. Paul talks about these qualities of his faith. Brother Branham says that he calls the impossible possible. And I say, Lord, but when I look at the scripture, I see all these other things. And then through the message, I was able to understand. Hallelujah. And Brother Branham tells us that what happened is that in Genesis 12, before Abraham sold, amen, or gave his wife to Pharaoh, also, Genesis 16 is where he connected with Hagar. Genesis 20 is where, amen, he went down to Abimelech. Before he went to Pharaoh in Genesis 12, God had already given Abraham an unconditional covenant. Amen. Hallelujah. And because he had an unconditional covenant, God never looked at anything Abraham did. God only looked at the promise that he gave Abraham. And God is not looking at what you do, but he's looking at the promise that he gave you. You are Abraham's seed and you are heirs according to the promise. I thank God he can't see me, but he sees him. To God. Who wouldn't praise a God like this? Amen. Who wouldn't serve a God like this? Amen. No matter how many mistakes Abraham made, he was covered underneath an unconditional covenant. And being that it was unconditional, it was never depending upon Abraham doing anything. God was doing it all. Even when Sarah laughed, God was doing it all. When Abraham laughed at the promise, God was doing it all. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I just love this. Look at what the prophet says here. Jehovah Jireh. Thank you, Jesus. He says, now there have been two covenants. One of them was the Adam covenant. God made a covenant with the man. If you will, I will. And he broke it. Then God made a covenant with Noah. That was Noah's covenant, and it was broke. And it says, now he's making the Abrahamic covenant. And the Abrahamic covenant, according to Genesis, the 12th chapter, it was given unconditionally. Therefore, it's eternal because it's unconditional. Not if you will, I will. He said, I have already done it. Not I will do it, I have done it. Amen. Glory to God. That basis faith. Right? He says God is determined to save man. He make a covenant. If you will, I will, he break it. Another one. You will, I will, he broke it. Man can't keep his covenant. So God saves man by his grace under a covenant that's unconditional. Glory to God. Unconditional covenant. Oh my. And notice this part. He says never ending. So if it's never ending, that means we're under it right now. It's a never ending unconditional covenant. Now that does not give us a liberty or a license to sin.
Right.
But it does give us a freedom to know that if we fail, if we make a mistake, that God is going to be right there to pick us right back up. Hallelujah. He'll dust us off a little bit and say, keep pressing on. God is not holding that mistake against you. God is not holding that fault against you. Hallelujah. He loves you. It's what he's already done. It's not what he's going to do. It's what he's already done. The prophet goes on to say this. Says he, man can't keep his covenant. God saves man by his grace under covenant. That's unconditional. Unconditional covenant. Oh, my, never ending. That was all of it. Three, perfect. Noah, Abraham. It's no Adam, Noah, and Abraham. Now, that's the reason we are Abraham's children. That covenant cannot be in, never end, because it's unconditionally. It isn't because you do something. It's because God did something. Not because you chose God. God chose you.
Amen.
He says, do you believe that?
Amen.
And in the quote, it says, congregation says amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's go on a little further here. The message, Israel in the church. It says, now then we find that we're watching the shadows now, and we find then God give us example. Christ and every one of the patriarchs, or down through the age in Abraham, God had election and Isaac justification calling. God called Isaac even before he was born. Gave him his name, everything, just like he did Jesus. Then I noticed Isaac perfectly. And the prophet says, we didn't have time to catch it. But did you notice Isaac, the only son of his father, through promise, packed the wood up the same hill, loaded, tied his hands, offered up as a sacrifice. And when he started to take his own life, Abraham, a little animal bladed, a little sheep, ram, hook, caught in the wilderness by his horns, and the Holy Spirit crying from heaven, amen, stay thy hand. And he went and got the lamb and offered in his stead, which was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. There you are. Beautiful picture. Let's go back and he says, no, he said we didn't have time to catch it, but tonight we're going to take time to try to catch it. Let's go back to Genesis 22. The prophet never went to Israel. He was on his way, he was trying to go, but the Holy Spirit stopped him from going. But he would share things, amen, in the message about Israel, and never having gone himself, just a little statement like this, we didn't have time to catch it, but did you notice Isaac, the only son of his father through promise, packed the wood up the same hill. We went to Israel, and one of the outstanding things that happened is, you know, we didn't start our tour in Jerusalem. You start on the outskirts and you go to other places like Galilee and Caesarea Philippi and, you know, Caesarea and just a number of cities like this that you would go in, and so much to see in all these places. But the end of our journey is in Jerusalem. We come to Jerusalem. And I remember the tour guide that was with us, amen. He's a man that lives there in Israel. He's a Israelite himself. Amen. And here he's on the bus with us. And as we're approaching Jerusalem, he makes a statement that just stuck with me. He says, this is Mount Moriah. I said, excuse me, sir. You said this was Mount Moriah. Yeah. I said, no, we're in Jerusalem, you know. He said, yeah, this is Mount Moriah. I said, now you realize what happened at Mount Moriah. He says, yes, I know exactly what happened at Mount Moriah. I said, if this is Mount Moriah, this is the place that Abraham brought Isaac. I said, if you should, he said, yeah, this is exactly right. I said, oh my. So if this is the place, if you're saying this is Mount Moriah, then what the prophet said, that Abraham took Isaac up the same hill where Christ was offered. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now the prophet said this, and this man is actually confirming what the prophet said. This is Mount Moriah.
Hallelujah. We got to read some things in scripture. But what I want you to know, when the prophet said that, I saw with my own eyes the very place that they took us to, that was exactly where Christ was being offered. Watch this in scripture. Watch this in scripture. Genesis 22. He says, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. Now, even when God is telling Abraham to take him to Moriah, I did some research. Moriah actually means bitterness of the Lord. Moriah means bitterness of the Lord. So if this is bitterness of the Lord, and if this is the place where Christ, amen, actually gave his life, it's at Moriah, hallelujah, amen, this is where he asked God to take the bitter cup from him. Oh, my. He says, in Mark 14, 36, it says, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. So here, he was going to have to drink this bitter cup of death, not for himself, but he was doing that for us. All this was happening at Moriah. God was very specific as where he was telling Abraham to take Isaac to. Not just any mountain, but take him to Moriah. Look at it. Let's go on a little further. He says, and offer him there for a burnt offering. Now, those are key words. I'm going to talk about this in a little bit. Offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee. Tell thee of. Verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, I just wonder, why would it be 3 days before Abraham recognized which mountain to go to? What else happened on the third day? On this same mountain, in the same area, on the third day, our Lord and Savior rose in that same area. Hallelujah. Look, he goes on to say, he says, Abraham said unto his young man, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand. Now, when you're looking at this story, you have to see Christ, because Christ is also carrying some wood, amen, up the same hill. The same hill that Isaac is walking up is the same hill that Christ is coming up. Oh, glory to God. Look, it says, Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, said, my father, and said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Watch these words. Watch the words. Watch how Abraham responds. He said, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Amen. Now notice, not God will provide for himself, but God will provide himself. And if this is the same mountain that Abraham takes Isaac up to is the same mountain that Jesus comes to, then God did exactly what he said. God provided himself a sacrifice. Oh, it wasn't just God sending his only son. It was God becoming the son and becoming the sacrifice for our sins on the same mountain that he told Abraham to go to. So perfect. Let's go on. It says, and Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. Now I need to just inject something. And it says he's providing a lamb for a burnt offering. So when the tour guide says, this is Mount Moriah, I knew that this was the area. But so then I asked, I'm like, well, how far? Now. Let me be careful how I say this, because I did ask Google, and you can't ask Google everything. You can't trust Google on everything. But when it comes to just like some simple directions, I might be able to trust Google. Praise the Lord. You know what I'm saying, right? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can't ask Google whether Brother Branham was the prophet. Google might blow up. That's a revelation. Google doesn't have that. You understand what I'm saying? Google doesn't have that. So don't ask Google things like that. Just ask Google for directions. So I asked Google, say, how far is Temple Mount or this Mount Moriah, how far is that from Calvary? The answer came back was a 4-minute walk. I said, oh my, 4-minute walk. So it was when they say it's the same hill, it was certainly the same hill, but maybe the area, a 4-minute walk, just within a 4-minute vicinity. To me, that's close enough to say that Christ died on the same mountain that Abraham was getting ready to take Isaac's life. That's close enough. But there was a reason that it was a 4-minute walk. And there was a reason why he says a lamb for a burnt offering. Well, according to scripture, when a burnt offering is being offered, amen, it has to be offered outside the camp.
All right.
Hallelujah. According to Hebrews 13, verse 11 through 14, a burnt offering, it has to be a whole offering. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, it has to be whole and it has to be offered outside the camp. Oh, my. So what we found, amen, is there was a place outside the camp. Amen. Outside the camp. And this place was called Golgotha. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Before I just give you that punchline, before I give that one away to you, y'all just bear with me. I want to save that one. It was outside the camp. Remember, it was Golgotha. Let's finish reading the scripture. Abraham, my son, and notice Abraham is prophesying. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So this is going to be an offering that's going to happen outside the camp. Abraham is already prophesying about it way in Genesis 22. So when it's being fulfilled in the life of Christ, when they thought that they were ridiculing him, when they thought that, amen, they were shaming him and taking him to this place, Golgotha, they didn't realize they were actually fulfilling the scripture. Amen. Uh-huh. Oh, hallelujah. Sometimes you're going through some really tough things in your life. And you don't know why you're facing that, but sometimes scripture's being fulfilled.
Right.
And as scripture's being fulfilled, promises are also going to be fulfilled in your life.
Amen.
Whatever you do, don't give up.
Amen.
Listen. Verse 9 says, and they came to the place which God had told them of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. Bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. See, this is this final test that Abraham is going through. Glory to God, before he receives the promise. And look, he says, verse 12, and he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. In order for Abraham to even come to this point, Isaac had to willingly lay himself down. Just the same way Christ had to willingly lay himself down. Listen. He says, verse 13, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram, which is a male lamb, a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. I'm so glad something was offered in my stead.
Amen.
Something was offered in your stead.
Amen.
Brother Branham said that ram was Christ, amen, right? Hallelujah. Come out of eternity. Come out of eternity and just came for a purpose and then went off the scene. What did Christ do? Came from his throne in glory,
yes,
to fulfill a purpose and then just went off the scene.
Yes.
Went back to sit at the right hand of God, a place of authority and power.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes. Look at this. And Abraham called the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord shall it shall be seen. And I love this. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. Now, the first time he called, say, stay your hand. Now, this is the second time.
This is when he receives his promise. This is when he receives, amen, these promises from God. Notice what it says. He called a second time and he said, by myself have I sworn. After Abraham overcame, after he went through the trial, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this, God was watching him all the time, because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. And multiplying, I will multiply thee. Can I tell you, when you're going through your trials, when you're going through your tests, God is not trying to subtract or divide from you. God is actually trying to add and multiply to you. Your trials will produce addition and multiplication. It will not produce subtraction and division. Hallelujah. That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. Now that's your promise. So whatever gate you're facing tonight, you have a promise that you will possess it. It may not feel like it. It may not look like it, but God said so. And sometimes you may feel like so much doubt that I don't think I'm going to do this. God said you will, and God will fulfill his word in you. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. I mentioned that it had to be outside the camp. A burnt offering had to be offered outside the camp. And when Christ died, he was offered outside the camp as a burnt offering, a whole burnt offering. When they took our Lord there, John 19, verse 15 through 17 says this, but they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. He's going outside the camp. And he bearing his cross the same way Isaac was bearing, amen, the wood. He bearing his cross went forth into a place called the place of skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. It's called the place of skull. When you get to Israel and you look at this place, it looks like just a big skull. It looks like it. Over the years, it's starting to corrode and fade away and things like that. But you can still kind of see this place of skull. You can see what it was all about. So when we got there and we're seeing the scripture, it's just right there before your very eyes. This thing has been fulfilled. You can see everything that scripture wrote. This is right before your very eyes. But I read a little quote about something that just blessed my heart. They took Jesus to this place of skull, fulfilling the word, for the burnt offering had to be offered outside the camp. There were many criminals that had died years ago, and their skulls were placed in the same place, the place of skull. But after coming home and catching this one quote, Brother Branham made a statement that just blessed my heart, because there was a special skull at the place of skull. Right. Hallelujah. And Brother Branham makes a statement that I want to read to you. Now, I got to ask you a question, because, you know, sometimes what happens when we read the word or when we hear the word, it should stimulate some excitement. Right. It should stimulate some joy. Amen. Hallelujah. Brother Branham was reading something, and just by reading it, it caused him to respond a certain way. Come on. Glory to God. Listen to this in the message, the true Easter seal. He says, Christ died at Calvary. So I said, amen, it happened at Calvary. One thing we know that happened at Calvary, Christ died at Calvary. Another thing we know that happened at Calvary is that Abraham took Isaac to the same hill. Glory to God. There's other things that happened, but I won't go into that tonight. But he said, Christ died at Calvary. How that he went up to the cross. I was reading a little book here not long ago, that on to some kind of a research. And in this research, I found something most startling. The prophet says, I found something most startling. He says, I sat down, I laid the book down, and raised up my hands and praised God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. When revelation strikes you, it should cause you to do something. Amen. The prophet was just reading at home. He says, I read it I had the book in my hand, then I laid it down. And when he laid it down, he had to lift his hands. Ooh, Jesus. Glory. I sat down. I laid the book down and raised up my hands and praised God. Not only that, he says, I got up and walked around a little bit. When was the last time a revelation struck you?
Amen.
Come on, somebody. Amen. Maybe you're sitting in church like this. Just a normal service. But a revelation comes from heaven. And it strikes you. The first thing you do is you lift your hands and you say, praise God. And then after that, it just kind of keeps bubbling on the inside of you. And then you have to get up and walk around. When was the last time a revelation struck you like that? Hallelujah. Oh, my God. When I read this, I looked at the excitement and the joy that the prophet had over revelation. There is stimulation in revelation. It says, I sat down. I laid the book down. I raised up my hands and praised God. Got up, walked around a little bit, sat down and read it again. I thought, oh, is that so? And he says that on the same hill. Here we go, talking about that same hill again. On the same hill where Jesus was crucified, Adam died. It happened at Calvary. The same place that Abraham took Isaac. The same place that our Lord and Savior Jesus died. Brother Branham said the same hill Adam died. Think about this. He says Adam died and was buried on the same hill that Jesus died on. And was buried on the same hill where Adam died. He died on Golgotha. When they thought they were embarrassing my Lord. When spitting on him, pulling on his beard, making him carry a cross, amen, down to Golgotha, because that's where they took the thieves and, amen, and the criminals down there. Here they thought they were doing something, amen, to shame him. But actually, they were taking the second Adam to the very spot that the first Adam was laying. How perfect can it be? And we question Christianity? You can't question anything like this. What religion is that perfect? That all the way in Genesis, God would prophesy these things, and then Jesus comes along and fulfills everyone. The last Adam went to the exact same spot and gave his life where the first Adam was laying.
Amen.
You talking about a complete and perfect redemption?
Come on. Amen.
God couldn't be more perfect.
Amen.
Glory. Amen.
Jesus died, was buried on the same hill where Adam died. He died on Golgotha. And was buried on Golgotha. And I thought, look at this, this is what the prophet said. I thought, what appropriate. And look, notice the other, he says, what appropriate, whether it's right or wrong. So just in case you're wondering, you got any other quotes on that? The prophet said, what appropriate, whether it's right or wrong. And you know what? I would probably be just like the prophet with my hands up saying, thank God that God is so perfect to do something like that for me. He said, let's say it was right. Then the first Adam died and was buried, and there yet in the dust, because he represented the world and the people to sin. But the second Adam, being the God of heaven, when he died on Golgotha, there wasn't enough earth to hold him there. He rose on the third day and is alive forevermore. He says, but the sin problem was settled. God settled the sin problem there at Calvary. That's where the debt was paid. When this Adam, second Adam, died, he paid the debt of sin for the human race
And the world put him in a tomb and sealed him up in the tomb. This is why we read 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. You see, amen. There were many seeds of Abraham that possessed many gates. The Hebrew boys possessed the gate of the fire. Daniel possessed the gate of the lion's den. The children of Israel possessed the gate of the Red Sea. Hallelujah. There were many that possessed many gates, but the one gate they could never possess was the gate of death. They all faced that gate and they all fell right there. Hallelujah. But we needed somebody that could possess the gate. Yes. Yes. Glory to God. Yes. Glory to God. We found that somebody. Amen. We have that somebody. Amen. He lives forevermore. His name is Jesus. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Look at this. Verse 23, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Church, I was blessed when I got a chance just to see that, and you know, knowing the message and hearing the prophet say these things that, you know, up the same hill, you know, and all these things, and then you get there, this man says, "This is Mount Moriah." It's like, what? What are you telling me? What you're telling me is exactly what the prophet told me. You're right. Confirming it. You're confirming what the prophet said. So, Lord, how blessed I am to be able to see this. Amen. And just looking through the message, and it just makes to me, it just like Brother Ram said, it's appropriate. Whether it's right or wrong, it's appropriate that the second Adam would go to the very spot that the first Adam is named, where Adam sold us into death. Christ brought back life. Amen. And he did it in the same spot where Adam was laying. His skull was there at the place of skulls, Golgotha. Can you imagine the blood dripping from the cross, seeping through the cracks, and hitting one skull, the skull of Adam? Adam is done. It's finished. It's complete. Redemption has come. Now man has access to the tree of life again. Oh, glory to God. It happened.
Yes.
At Calvary.
Thank you.
Yes. Let me give you this last quote. That day on Calvary, the prophet says, the one great important thing that Calvary means to us and the world is it settled the sin question once for all. And I pray tonight that the sin question would be settled in your heart once for all. No more struggling. You know, the Bible actually tells us to lay aside every sin and every weight that so easily besets us. And there are some things in your life that may not be sin, but it is a weight. And it's hard to run a race when you're running with weights. You gotta shed yourself of the weights in order to be able to run this race. So the scripture actually tells you it's not a thing where you pray and say, "Lord, would you take this from me?" No, he says, lay it aside. How much do you love him? Can you lay that aside? Whatever that is, can you lay it aside? Oh, look at what he laid aside. I know we can lay some things aside. Let the sin question be settled forever. It says man was found guilty of sin. Sin was a penalty that no man could pay. The penalty was so great until there wasn't anyone that could pay the penalty. I truly believe that God ordained it that way. That the penalty would be so great that no man could pay it. so he could do it himself. Now, the penalty of sin was death. And we're all born in sin, shaped in iniquity, came to the world speaking lies. Therefore, there wasn't none of us that was worthy, or they could find no one on earth that was worthy. But when they went looking, and you know, and even John just began to weep that he couldn't find nobody to take the book. And I mean, oh, he thought it was done. It was finished. Until a lamb stepped forward. He heard the voice say, "Weep not, John, the lion of the tribe of Judah." Yeah. And when he turned to look, he saw a bloody, bleeding lamb. Amen. I hope you get a vision of that lamb. Because he took your place. Just like he took Isaac's place, he took your place. He did it at Calvary. Let's bow our heads. Father, how we thank you. Thank you that you would leave your throne in glory. You would come to this earth and bring to us the redemption story. It's a story that we can never get tired of hearing. God, even as we just comb through scripture, we see how perfect you aligned things all the way back in the days of Abraham when you told him the specific mountain to go to. You knew that you'd be using that mountain years later. That same hill would be used to bring redemption to mankind. Not only that, but you knew the skull of Adam would be there. And what a perfect place as the second Adam to go and shed your blood to show that the price was settled. The penalty was paid. God, how can we shun love like that? How can we allow things in our life to keep us from a love like that? Lord, my prayer is that as a people that we would all lay aside every sin and every weight that so easily besets us. And let us turn our eyes and our attention fully on you, God, giving you what you deserve. Let us meditate on the things that we've heard. Let us really think about what you did. And let us show our gratefulness through the lives that we live. Help us, God. Thank you that you don't look at us the way that we look at ourselves. You didn't look at Abraham that way. We could see all the doubt and frustrations and things that it seemed like he walked through in life. But God, there was an unconditional covenant that kept him, and that same unconditional covenant is still in effect tonight. Thank you, God. Let us repent in your presence, God. That you, God, would take us to the place that you want us to be. We commit ourselves to you, Jesus. Not our will, but your will be done in us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I'll give the service back to the pastor at this time. Amen. You thankful for what happened at Calvary? Amen. Let's sing this together tonight. I'm not on an ego trip. I'm nothing on my own. For I've made mistakes and I've often slipped. Just common flesh and bone. Oh, but I
someday just what I say. Oh, I'm of a special kind. For when he was on the cross, you and I were on his mind.
Aren't you thankful for that tonight?
Oh, yes, he knew
every fault, every failure.
Oh, yet he loved.
Thank you, Lord.
He whose glory makes the heaven shine. Oh, I was so unworthy.
Take a little mental trip back to Golgotha tonight. Visualize him hanging there on the cross for us.
There was a look of love upon his face, those thorns on his head. His precious blood ran down that scarlet road. Eyes were on the crowd that day, but my Jesus, he looked ahead in time. For when he was on the cross, his little bride, we were on his mind.
Why don't we stand and worship him tonight?
Oh, yes. He knew me. Yeah, he loved me. He whose glory makes the heaven shine. Oh, I was so unworthy.
Oh, but he didn't look at the cost. He looked at what he was purchasing. Oh, let's sing it again together tonight.
Oh, yes, he knew me. Yeah, he loved me.
Thank you, Jesus.
He whose glory makes
as they play that softly. Amen. God does everything perfect. He knows what he's doing. We look and we see patterns in the scripture, how that history repeats itself and how that God does things. We can recognize God knows what he's doing. God would look back in Genesis and allow a man to walk his son up a hill with wood on his back as a sacrifice. But he'd say, I'm not going to make you do it, Abraham. I'm willing to do it with my son, but I'm not going to make you do it, Abraham. I'll provide a sacrifice. Years later, this land that they would walk up of Mount Moriah, it would be owned by a man named Ornan the Jebusite. David would make a great mistake and number the people to try to depend on their own numbers for strength. And God would send a plague amongst them. And he would look out over the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite and see an angel standing there with a flaming sword. And God would tell him, go make a sacrifice there, David, at Mount Moriah. Go make a sacrifice. And he goes and he has a burnt offering there, or he's getting ready to, and God comes down and honors the sacrifice and consumes the sacrifice on Mount Moriah. And David said, I won't sacrifice anything that's been given to me. Let me buy this land from you, Ornan. And so his son inherits this land, and they go to build a temple. And where do they build it? On Mount Moriah, Solomon's temple. God does everything perfect, doesn't he? There's no mistakes. Amen. Sometimes our human intellect looks and thinks, well, how does this fit this? And all that. God's word is perfect. Amen. And the same God that could look down and know that a mountain that a man would walk up with his son would be the mountain where his son would go, the mountain where King David would purchase and his son would build a temple. He knew all that. He knew Adam was buried there. He knew all that was taking place. And we look sometimes with our troubles and our sickness and our family issues and our financial struggles and we think, God, do you really know? He knows. He knows all about it. He knows what you're going through tonight. He knows what you're facing, and he already paid the price for the answer. When, Brother Nathan? It happened at Calvary. Yes. Glory to God. Let's sing. Amen. Amen. To know what God did for us, I believe we can sing this tonight. We were so unworthy. Why me, Lord? What have I ever to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you or the kindness you've shown? If you think there's a way I could ever repay all I've taken from you. Oh, and maybe, Lord, I could show someone else the things I've been through myself. Anybody needs prayer tonight, why don't you come while we sing that verse again? Try me, Lord. If you think there's a way I could ever repay all I've taken from you. Minister brothers, would you come pray with them? Oh, and maybe, Lord, I can show someone else what I've been through.
Tonight, why don't you slip up your hand and just tell him tonight, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Thank him for all he's done for you, how he's moved in your life, how he's protected your family. He's worthy of it tonight. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus.
In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. Oh, in moments like these, I lift up.
Anything can happen tonight.
Singing I,
oh, how I love. He's the dissolver of doubts. He's the great physician. He's a way maker. He's a family restorer. He's a debt payer.
Singing.
Music tonight, why don't you give him a wave offering? We sing it that way again together tonight.
Sing, I love you, Lord. Sing, I love you.
As they play that softly tonight, I hope I don't embarrass him tonight, but I feel impressed to do something. The last time I felt impressed to do something like this, there was a young lady that couldn't have children, and I think she's holding her little baby back there tonight. So, amen. I don't like when the Lord's leading you to do something. I don't like to go the other direction, even if it makes somebody maybe uncomfortable or whatever it be. Brother Terry and Brother Yarbrough, will you do me a favor? Brother Steve Ricketts back there tonight. Brother, I know you've been fighting a battle for a long time, but the Lord impressed this on my heart. Would you two brothers lay your hands on Brother Steve tonight? And we're going to agree together as a group of believers. I believe that it's God's will that he prosper in health, even as his soul prospers. Amen. I believe God wants to deliver our brother and heal him tonight. Why don't we join our faith together? Amen. We all can't lay our hands on him, but why don't you point your hand toward Brother Steve tonight? Let's just agree together for our brother. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, Satan has tried to rob our brother of his health. Lord, he's tried to attack him back and forth, Lord, and we've seen him struggle for years, Lord, in and out of sickness and health, Lord, but Lord, we join together as a group of believers feeling your presence here tonight. Lord, we recognize that you paid a debt on Calvary, Lord Jesus. Lord, that you paid for our brother's healing. Lord, and we're claiming that tonight by faith. Lord, the enemy's tried to rob him of victory. He's tried to rob him of health. But Lord, we're going tonight with a slingshot of faith after what you purchased for him at Calvary. Lord, we believe tonight that by your stripes, Brother Steve is healed. We believe tonight by the prayer of faith, Lord Jesus. Lord, we pray the prayer of faith for our brother. We believe tonight, Lord Jesus, that a testimony will go forth of his healing. That a testimony will go forth that God's not dead, but God is alive. That God is still healing. That God is still saving. That God is still filling with the Holy Ghost. Lord, we pray for our brother tonight. Lord, may every demon that's tried to hinder him move back from him tonight. Lord, we rebuke every demon of sickness, every demon of doubt that would try to hold him. Oh, Lord Jesus, we claim your blood tonight for our brother. Lord, we believe he's healed by faith. In Jesus Christ's name. In Jesus Christ's name. Hallelujah. You don't have to go out of here the way that you came in. You don't have to go out of here defeated. You don't have to go out of here sick. You don't have to go out of here lonely or depressed or discouraged. You don't have to go out of here with anxiety. You don't have to go out of here with suicidal thoughts tonight. Jesus Christ is delivering his people. Brother Ram said he had that vision, said he went running everywhere crying, "Where's Roy Borders?" God is delivering his people. He said, "House of hell, turn loose to the name of Jesus Christ." And he said those bars that were binding the people began to snap and to break. I don't believe that was just for 1965, but I believe God is still delivering his people tonight. Amen. You don't have to go out of here the way you came in. Oh, you're just emotional, Brother Nathan. No, I'm excited. I'm excited because of stimulation, of revelation, to know that God's people don't have to live bound, but they're free. And who the Son set free is free indeed. Oh, hallelujah. I think we could sing this tonight before we go. Amen. Lord, for Philip tonight, too, in the basement with a headache. Lord, touch him and heal him. Satan's tried to rob his joy today of being able to enjoy this service, but heal him, Lord. Heal all the sick in our midst, Father. You're more than able. Brother Bram said when that maniac came forward and rushed the platform, he said the greatest chief enemy of all the devils is unbelief. And when they recognized their chief leader was defeated, he said everything in the building was healed. Hallelujah.
For a long time I traveled down a long, lonely road. My heart was so heavy, and sin I sank low. Then I heard about Jesus. Oh, what a wonderful hour. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out through His saving That had taken its flight, like the blind man that God gave back his sight, like that poor wretched beggar who found fortune and fame. I'm so glad that I found out he could bring me out through his holy name.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Sure appreciate the word of God. And I appreciate y'all coming out and listening to Brother Jack preach to me. Amen. That was just came right down my alley tonight. Amen. Amen. Jesus did it all. And it's a perfect word. We're blessed to be here. Amen. Brother Nathan had asked me to dismiss in prayer. So let's just bow. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it's an honor and a privilege to be in your house, Lord Jesus. I hear you, Lord. Lord, you have spoken, and I hear you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for touching our hearts and encouraging us, Lord Jesus. Lord, it doesn't matter the symptom. It doesn't matter the battle. It doesn't matter. The promise is the same, Lord. We know that we're as healed as that, Lord, you died on Calvary and by your stripes. And if that scripture is true, which we know it is, there's no symptom that makes a difference. The only thing that matters is that promise, Lord. We're looking to you, Lord. Spiritual healing, physical healing, Lord. Thank you for the work that you've done tonight, Lord. The lives you've touched, Lord. I believe lives have been changed and hearts healed, Lord. Just continue that work that's been started, Lord Jesus. Lord, and as we go forward for the rest of the weekend of fellowship, Lord, and especially coming back to hear your word, Lord, at the appointed time, I pray that you would just keep your angels near us, Lord. We know that you're encamped about those that fear him, Lord. Be with the saints in Florida, the ones that are traveling, Lord. We know some doors were shut, but we know that these things are no accident, Lord. You're in control. And we believe that the ones who need to be here will be here, and pray that you would just be with the ones that couldn't come, Lord, and just turn that storm, Lord, just into the open sea. May no harm come to your saints, Lord. I pray that you just be with us as we go our own separate ways. Dismiss us from this place, never from thy presence. Lead and guide us with your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, sometimes the devil battles you, and sometimes you just go ahead and sing it anyway. So I'm going to read this little quote here. Get all the things away from you, say, Mr. Satan, you are defeated. Jesus Christ stripped you of every power you had when he died at Calvary, and you're nothing but a bluff, and you can't bluff me. I'm made out of that stuff that don't bluff. I haven't sang that for a while, but Brother Nathan got a hold of it, and you guys that were here know he added several verses to this. But why don't we sing this before we go? It's really simple. You just tell Satan, you're made out of that stuff that don't bluff. Amen. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. Oh, I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. Oh, I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. Oh, I was made to overcome. I'm washed by the water of the Word. I'm washed by the water of the Word. I'm washed by the water of the Word. I was made to overcome. My salvation's already been paid. My salvation's already paid. Salvation is already paid. I was made to overcome. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. Oh, I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. Can you say that tonight with confidence? Oh, I was made to overcome. My healing is already been paid. My healing is already been paid. My healing is already been paid. I was made to overcome. Oh, I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. Oh, I was made to over. My family is under the blood. My family is under the blood. My family is under the blood. Oh, they were made to overcome. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. Oh, I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. Oh, I was made. My mountain has started to move. My mountain has started to move. Oh, my mountain has started to move. Oh, I was made. God bless you. Let's sing it as we go. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. Oh, I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I was made to overcome. His spirit is living inside. His spirit is living inside. His spirit is living inside. I was made to overcome. Oh, I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. Oh, I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I was made to overcome. I'm washed by the water of the Word. I'm washed by the water of the Word. I'm washed by the water of the Word. I was made to overcome. I know every giant will fall. I know every giant will fall. I know every giant will fall. I was made to overcome. Oh, I'm made out of stuff. Made out of stuff that don't bluff. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I was made to overcome. My every need, he supplied my every need. He supplied my every need. He supplied. I was made to overcome. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I was
made to overcome. My salvation is already paid. My salvation's already been paid. My salvation's already been paid. I was made to overcome. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. Oh, I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I was made to overcome. He's with me wherever I go. He's with me wherever I go. He's with me wherever I go. I was made to overcome. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. Oh, I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I was made to overcome. His spirit is living inside. His spirit is living inside. His spirit is living inside. I was made to overcome. His presence abides with me. His presence abides with me. His presence abides with me. I was made to overcome. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. Oh, I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I'm made out of stuff that don't bluff. I was made to overcome.